be along with a live show tonight because Peter Godbold is a man without a voice. John Fox won't be with us tonight because John Fox is a man without an internet. I won't do the horn section tonight because I will probably be entirely voiceless myself from screaming at the jug-eared, pig-eyed, hateful little vile lout as he makes his final State of the Union address. We all square? Cool. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch. See you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 112 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome indeed to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively on the listener-supported Head-On Radio Network, also brought to you by Coal River Mountain Watch. That's CRMW.net. And speaking of Coal River Mountain Watch, our good friend whom we missed terribly boarded a plane yesterday in West Virginia and took off to go to Massachusetts, which is Mr. Bob Kincaid. There was all some concern on whether I guess all of the hosts are on the no-fly list, but in any case, they let Bob get on the plane and head off to Massachusetts. Bob is in a meeting being held at Williams College in Massachusetts. It's called Focus on the Nation. It's partly referencing Coal River Mountain Watch, environmentalism, and economic justice regarding mountaintop removal and another other subjects. And I was just distracted. There we go. Yes, doggy's fine. I think nice doggy. The first time she's ever come over to say hi at the beginning of a program. In any case, we expect Bob back Thursday. He'll be back Thursday evening. And so let's get on with this show. And let's see, where are we headed? Yes, here we go. Regarding the listener-supported network, we appreciate the support of Coal River Mountain Watch. And also we appreciate your support, too. If you can stop by headonradionetwork.com, you'll find a link there to the PayPal button. We are in the process of fundraising not only to keep the streaming and the packets packing. We are also in the process of fundraising for a new studio to be built, construction. The network is growing, and many things are planned. We are also in discussion regarding attending the Democratic National Convention, our committee, rather, in, let's see, that would be in Denver. I believe that's during the month of August. A number of us are talking about going up there to do live broadcasting, our live streaming audio from the convention, certainly something exciting and something new for the network. We have hosts far-flung. If you're new to the network, you may not realize we have hosts in, we're from Australia to Washington, D.C., to you name it. We're spread out all over the planet. So it's in line with something that this network can do. Remote locations are not unusual to us whatsoever. Example, I'm in Tallahassee. The studio is in West Virginia. That being the case, we know all about remote hookups, and that's our forte. So what better network to give you the progressive point of view than the Head-On Radio Network? Of course, I'll be bringing the LGBT point of view when we do that in August, which is currently a goal. Of course, thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Monday, February the 4th, 2008. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll find links there to all of the guests as well as to the guests' websites. You'll find links there to the audio archives from previous shows so that you can go back and listen to any of the guests you may have missed. You'll find links there to the chat room, which is active as we speak. You'll find links to the Head-On Radio Network main site, You'll find out there about all of the progressive programming on the network, and I'm only a small part of that. There are links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and also links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. I have to admit, at the very beginning of the show, I scared myself. normally, when Bob is on the air, the show that precedes this, by the way, if you're a new listener, is Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid. He runs from 6 to 9. Wonderful host if you haven't heard him. Normally, Bob's show is in my headphones, and I'm listening to Bob's show. I hear his show wrapped down, and then I hear the theme music start. But since Bob was in rerun this evening, I was listening to complete Stone Cold Silence, and all of a sudden, the Strictly Confidential theme scared me a little bit. Like, oh my God, what's this going? And so anyway, I think I'm almost back to normal, and it's nice to be with you this evening. Tonight is a Just Us evening on Strictly Confidential. We'll be doing all sorts of news reports that we have not gotten to earlier in the week, or last week, and some new material that's come in recently, too. I think we have some interesting topics. Our guests, by the way, for the rest of the week, tomorrow evening we have a scheduled guest to be with us regarding the issue regarding adoption in Arkansas. I'm just looking for my note here. Here we go. The guest is, tomorrow evening will be Donna Marie, and Donna Marie will be joining us from Arkansas tomorrow evening at about 9 p.m., and we're going to talk about the new drive from the Family Council Action Committee in Arkansas to ban LGBT couples from adopting children. Apparently they're saying in Arkansas that it's all right for a individual LGBT person who does not live with another to adopt a child, but we certainly don't want two of them in the same house. Doesn't make much sense to be either, and we'll find out all the details and any corrections on that tomorrow evening when we have Donna Marie on. And thank you, Donna Marie, for joining us tomorrow evening. The gay bar across the street segment tonight is our dear friend Larry Sanders in California. Larry Sanders being the most dangerous DJ on the planet. Regarding upcoming DJs, we'll have a schedule at, oh, let's see where I put that. I'll find it here in a minute. We have the schedule. I think it's VJC tomorrow evening. Yes, I'm sure it's VJC tomorrow evening. So I'll update you on that as it comes along. Here we go. VJC tomorrow evening, Bobby Vittoretti for Wednesday. On Thursday, we'll have D.C. LaRue, and on Friday, we'll have Jerry Bonham as our Gay Bar Across the Street segment. And let's see, the toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877-4, H-E-A-D-O-N. You are more than welcome to call and join the show this evening. We'd love to hear from you. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that. Use area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks. In Bob's absence, Bob always so well covers national and worldwide issues and local West Virginia issues. Since he's not here this evening, I have a couple of non-LGBT-related articles I'm going to give to you that I'm sure Bob could not resist were he here with us this evening. So this was sent in by our listener and chat room regular Suzanne to the studio in West Virginia. According to state lawmakers in West Virginia, and as you know, West Virginia is called the almost heaven state. John Denver made it the almost heaven state when he was singing the song. The legislators are considering a bill that would teach school children how to handle a gun. Yes, indeed, you cannot make this stuff up. The bill is going to teach school kids how to handle guns and hunt. This is in hopes of boosting the state hunting revenues. You have to shake your head and wonder about something like this. The article goes on to say that perhaps by almost heaven they mean that you're going to get shot by a child. Many of the residents are murdered, but not by children. It's, the senator, his name is Billy Wayne Bailey. complained that he designed the children's hunting bill in hopes of increasing the state revenue from hunting licenses. You know, that's a shame. Some people are calling it the paraplegic lifeguards bill or the preschool to sex work bill. Says we'll teach a hunting safety course during the physical education class, Billy Wayne Bailey told the AFP. While it will cut into your child's exercise, we look at it this way. That's the problem with being fat and slow. You know, why not just learn to shoot? And if anybody threatens you, calls you fat or slow, we'll just shoot you. Unbelievable. And speaking of fat and slow, we have another legislator from the state of Mississippi. This legislator has introduced a bill to bar restaurants from serving fat people. I kid you not, there is no end to the amount of control that the right-wingers want to influence and define for the residents of this country. It amazes me every day. There is nothing they won't regulate and nothing they won't corrupt in some way. And they call themselves a party of small government. Now, the man who introduced this bill is 5'11" and weighs 230 pounds. Another prime example of the right. It takes someone whose own life is out of control regarding sexuality, drinking, overeating. As long as when you can't control your own life, you attempt to regulate the citizens at large. This is very typical of them. We expect that type of behavior. He says that 30% of the adults in Mississippi are considered obese. And the Democrats, by the way, are saying they're going to shred the bill, that it's oppressive for government to require an owner to police human beings from being overweight. Furthermore, they have to have standards. What is overweight? It's just amazing to me. He also says that he doesn't really expect the bill to be passed. So you can look at it one of two ways, another example of over-control or another example of just plain wasted money by the folks who brought you George W. Bush. Okay, get those out of the way. I received a great article this afternoon by Archbishop Simpson. If you remember, Archbishop Bruce Simpson was a guest on the show. In fact, he's been on the show a couple of times, and he always brings us a wonderful perspective. Archbishop Bruce Simpson is in the process of locating a building contractor or an architect, actually, for the property that has been donated somewhere in North Florida to get the their facilities going there. They're going to build a small rectory and a church, and we hope that goes well for them. Someone has indeed donated, I believe, what was it, 10, maybe 20 acres of land in North Florida, and they are looking very much toward finding an architect in the LGBT community who will donate their time to help with that project. Archbishop is telling us that about Pennsylvania, about what's going on with the ultra-conservatives in Pennsylvania, and indeed we are facing the same issue here in Florida. Archbishop Bruce Simpson is pointing out that the LGBT community is a target again. The right-wing religious elements and the national conservative groups who we have known to love and trust, special interest groups, they're never satisfied with enough. What they want is a defense of marriage constitutional amendment in Pennsylvania. There is already a defense of marriage law, which in fact is a misnamed law, as we know here on this network. Everything is reverse name. It's like opposite land, bizarro world. Everything is opposite of what it is. The Clean Skies Act means pollution. No Left Child Behind means your kid's not going to learn a damn thing. So the Defense of Marriage Act is in effect as a law in Pennsylvania. It is also as a fact a law in Florida. Nonetheless, in both Florida and in Pennsylvania, the right-wingers, in the case of Florida, it's the Marriage Protection Group, I believe it's called. Anyway, it always states itself in terms of protection. I have a link in here, or a note in here regarding the full name, but it doesn't matter. It's just another bunch of conservatives under a different name. In any case, like Pennsylvania, there is already a law on the books that supposedly protects marriage, but now they want to put it on the Constitution. Archbishop Simpson is saying that the Union of Intolerance is determined to take the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, a document that grants rights and grants privileges, and add discrimination and prejudice and intolerance and second-class citizenship to this document. He is wondering, as do many of us, why these religious groups never seem to want to come together for the purpose of feeding the hungry, for instance, or clothing the naked, or even housing the homeless. Those who claim to be Christians act in a way that shows them to be anything but Christians. We know that all too well. Christ left us with one simple commandment that rose above all the others, to love God and to love one another. And this is always overlooked. In fact, in the case of Florida regarding helping others, it's going to cost the Florida groups who are fighting it, Fairness for All Families, Equality Florida. There's the Red and Blue group. Hopefully we'll have a member of their organization on fairly soon. Looks like it's going to cost about $10 million to fight this in Florida, which could be better spent on many, many things. It will run at least that to fight it in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The bishop points out that marriage is not a religious institution. It's a civil matter between two parties. He says the church does not marry couple. It witnesses the exchange of vows. And he is, in fact, correct. It is the state which issues you the marriage license, not in the church. They simply witness the vows. Says that without a civil license issued by government, no marriage is possible. He also points out, as we've said time and time again, that no church is compelled under any legislation to perform a ceremony for gay folks if it's not already part of the norm for that church. And anything suggested that goes to the contrary is simply a scare tactic. You know, it's like the adding to the Constitution of the United States a document that grants freedoms to suddenly begin adding and restricting people based upon their sexual orientation. Fundamental constitutional rights are at stake here, and that is the constitutional right to, in fact, have a contract between yourself and another individual. It's just the sex part that scares them so badly. Archbishop also closes by saying that it has brought us to the near edge of destruction, this entire divisive issue. And in fact, he is absolutely correct. Case in point regarding that destruction, there's an actual showdown regarding the Anglican Church. You'll recall the Anglican Church not very long ago added a gay bishop, Gene Robinson. He's a bishop in the United States, and ever since then the church has been involved in a huge rigmarole regarding whether the church should support gay people or send them all to hell, primarily based in South Africa. It's ripping the church apart. But we have a couple of churchgoers in South Africa. They were assaulted. A bunch of thugs who were aligned to a dissident bishop attempted to prevent the new bishop, he was being replaced by a new bishop, to take his place. You see, there's a fellow named Kanoga down there, and he was dethroned. So he didn't like it. He didn't like the fact there was a talk in the church of gay marriage. He's using that as an issue. And he split from the Anglican Church over the gay clergy and set up his own dissenting church. And here's the rubbing point. He's perfectly welcome to do that. He seized the property of the Cathedral of St. Mary and All Saints and all of its contents. It's sort of, I don't like you, and I'm going to take your toys and go home, rather than taking your own. So, last week, Zimbabwe's highest court ruled that the church was within its rights to remove him, and that the property indeed belonged to the Anglican Church, and not the former bishop, and not his followers. The court said that he couldn't block the installation of his replacement into the church. Seems like such such common stuff that you would expect people to already know. It's a shame that the court had to rule on it. So he and his followers barricaded themselves in the cathedral in Zimbabwe. And so when representatives of Bakari, now Bakari is the new person who's been appointed there as bishop to take the other fellow's place, Kanoga. So Bakari and some of his representatives actually went to the building, or to the church that had been occupied by a hostile force, and tried to gain access to the church. They were very badly beaten by the bishop's, I guess you could say followers. It's a hard word to associate with violence, but yeah, followers. This fellow Kanoga is also a supporter of Zimbabwe's strongman president, Mugabe, and he's widely considered the world's most homophobic leader. So there's no surprise there that there is a relationship. Kanoga announced, actually from the pulpit, that last December he was splitting from the Anglican Church, claiming that senior bishops supported homosexuality. And he announced we are worse than dogs and pigs, and that has been a long-standing statement. And this is the when I said at the close of Archbishop Bruce Simpson's material that it's brought us to the near edge of destruction. This is the reference that I point to that I think demonstrates that rather well. After the church removed Kanoga as bishop and installed Bakari, Kanoga himself burst into a service, an Anglican church service, was being led by the new bishop. He jumped over the altar, screaming at him, and ripped a Bible from his hands. You know, that's pretty bad when the devil himself is able to walk into a church and rip the Bible from someone's hands. Because of us LGBT folks, primarily. You know, the Pope says that it is the LGBT community, said it recently in an address to Spain, that it is the LGBT folks who are in fact causing these problems and blocking world peace. It certainly couldn't be that the father of lies has got a hand in that. It's us. Us, my friends. I am one of them. I am one of the people standing in the way of world peace. Just thought I would let you know. But in any case, I think that means if we'd just go away, the Anglican Church wouldn't be busting up. But certainly that's not the case. The government there has a long history of persecution and torture of all sorts of groups it doesn't like. In fact, the government there has... They're after a gay rights leader in London, a fellow named Peter Batchel. And they... On the television stations down there in Zimbabwe, they ran a segment saying that this gay activist was in fact militant in the sense that he had an army. They laid out and showed many, many weapons, automatic weapons, that this homosexual army was going to use to kill the citizens of Zimbabwe as we took over their churches and, I assume, their shopping malls and their government buildings. Obviously, they said they had confiscated it from a home of one of the gay activists that work with Peter Thatchell. It just amazes me. You know, getting back to the referring to Satan as the father of lies, when you see blatant, absolutely outrageous falsehoods that are presented this way, like father, like son, eh? Thinking people know what I'm saying. In any case, they've tried to... Now, Thatchell has a long history of being a critic of Zimbabwe's government, but he has denied absolutely that he has any weapons, but he's been a constant critic of Mugabe's treatment of gays and other minorities. He attempted to arrest people who are part of the Zimbabwean armed group, citizens' arrest. In other words, he's not a good homosexual. He's not a good old know your place kind of guy. What this man is doing physically, I'm doing verbally, and it's not really safe anymore to not know your place in society, is it not? I think many black folks could tell us that you certainly have a lot less wounds and emotional scars and perhaps dead people in your family if you know your place. I think that women could tell us that, who were burned as heretics. It goes back a long way. Then there was another group also associated with Thatcher as outraged, and they ambushed one of Mugabe's motor cars. He had a motorcade running in London, and they were trying to do a citizen's arrest on him before he left London while he was leaving the Hilton Hotel to head back to Zimbabwe. And then a British court refused to issue an arrest warrant, saying that Mugabe is immune from foreign arrest since he's the head of state. I think I'm fairly certain here that that's the same law that Bush uses in order not to be arrested in this country. Since he's the head, we just have to take it. That's normally the way it goes. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you about a story I heard in church. This is a genuine Methodist story from a genuine Methodist church that I was in last Sunday. And I have to tell you, you know, I run the soundboard there at the church. And one of the songs that we sang just prior to this person getting up and saying this, we had a missionary, not from our church, but this missionary is a Methodist nonetheless, and was coming into the church to make an announcement and tell the folks about what the missionaries are doing, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, just before this person came up to speak, one of the hymns that we sang had a chorus that the chorus was "Be glorified, be glorified," and I realize it's irreverent, but I have to tell you, I had to pull myself together to hold myself pretty tight to keep from laughing out loud, because the lyrics were "Be glorified, be glorified," and all I could hear in my head was "He's horrified, he's horrified," thinking of Christ. Yes, he's horrified, all right. The world is certainly not the way it should be. Not. In any case, this woman got up in front of the church. By the way, what I'm reading to you is stamped private. Please do not post in public. And it was handed out in the Methodist church. It's not an official Methodist publication. It's local. But nonetheless, it's not to be read to anyone who isn't a Methodist. Apparently, they're talking about some missionaries, a Robin and a Mark, and they met at Asbury. They have some children, and they worked for years in an undisclosed and difficult Muslim nation. Can you say, we don't know which one? This is strictly confidential, you know. So anyway, Mark translated the Bible into their language, and Robin worked with the women. And apparently they were asked to leave the country, and they wanted to continue their ministry, though. So it says here that God led them to a friendly nation nearby. I guess they couldn't, you know, book their own plane ticket, so God had to help. And it's no big clue which country. But anyway, I'm just giving it to you. So in any case, in her, people who listen to this show for a long, long time understand me. They understand where I'm coming from. People who are new to this show are thinking he's Muslim bashing. He's out of his mind. It takes a while to get to know me. In any case, this woman was up there babbling about a website called dreamsandvisions.com, and that's the full word "and." It's not a sign. It's www.dreamsandvisions.com. Now, what this site is about, the site is about Muslim people. See, this is the whole stir in the evangelical community right now. In order to justify the death and the carnage and all of the things that we have done to those people, what is it? Oh, it's over a million now. Men, women, and children are dead. It's exceeding the Holocaust. We do not see it on our local news. We don't understand it that way, but what I'm telling you is an absolute fact. Of course, you won't hear that from the United States government. You have to go to, you know, real democracies like England, you know, universities who have studied it. So anyway, over at dreamsandvisions.com. Now, by the way, I did some research. I attempted to find out who in the hell dreamsandvisions.com is. There is no way to contact anyone using the site. There is no About Us page. There's no Board of Directors page. There's no indication as to what religious organization or congregation they're affiliated with in any way. Dreams and Visions seems to stand alone. And I said, okay, well, then I'll do the search then regarding the domain name, which, of course, revealed their IP address. And when running searches using the various lookup tools for domain names, dreamsandvisions.com, you see someone owns that name. This is how the Internet works. Otherwise, you'd have 50 people using the same name, and it would all blow up. Boom, go boom. So these names are all registered. So I went to the site that registers. And in fact, the site is registered in such a way that you cannot tell who the true owner is. I can tell you that the hosting, it's based in Pennsylvania. I can tell you that much. But there is no possible way to know who put this information up. But if you go to the site, dreamsandvisions.com, what you will find on the homepage is a picture of a number of Muslim-looking dark-skinned folks, relatives of the brown-skinned carpenter Yeshua, as we like to say, who are on the page. And everything's written in, like, what, Arabic? Or somebody who's in the chat room maybe can visit the site and figure out what language this is in. I have no idea. But it's, to me, good old boy from the South that appears to be chicken scratching. But obviously, it's a language that I do not comprehend, and obviously it's a language from the Middle East. I think some of the pages you could click on to turn them into various countries' dialects, but all of it was... Also, at the top of the page, big at the top of the page, you can click on the word English, and as if by magic, it translates everything automatically to English. You see, it's simply a second page that's written in English. The opening page is not in English to make it appear that this site is for the Muslim people in other parts of the world, when in reality, this site is for the Christian people in this part of the world so that they can justify what's going on there. And why do I say that? This site is devoted exclusively to Muslim men and women in Iraq who, out of the clear blue sky, just all of a sudden in their lives, they had a dream with Jesus in it. Apparently this is happening just rampantly over there. People, Muslims who have been Muslims all their lives and absolutely despise this country for the family members we have killed and the depleted uranium the country is coated in would be enough to hate us. But apparently these people who have been brought up Muslim, who live Muslim, who despise the United States and our Christianity along with it, are suddenly, as if by magic, dreaming about Jesus. Jesus is appearing in their dreams. And as a result of that, they somehow pick up a copy of the Bible and realize that the Bible proves that Jesus is the real and not the Muhammad guy, and that if you go back and forth between the Bible and the Quran, you'll see that the Quran actually points to the Bible, and the Quran confirms that Jesus is then back and forth. You see, the whole thing about the war, I mean, somebody, we talk, I feel sorry for you guys who don't listen to the show regularly. You have absolutely what I'm talking about. What I'm getting at here is often you'll hear people talk about the war being about oil and control, and in many ways it is, but also it is being very, very heavily promoted in the evangelical churches and also amongst the military. The folks who are going into the military have no way of escaping this. These are pretty much forced training camps. That this is a war of God. This is God's war, and that we are indeed there to conquer and disable and retrain this dark Muslim civilization, and that we must bring Jesus to that world whether they like it or not. You're going to be saved by Christ whether you like it or not, is the... And so you see, now what we have are these missionaries who go out, and they're talking to the churches, and I can't tell you how many times this woman says, www.dreamsandvisions.com, you've got to go see that, you've got to read the stories. And there's some videos there. And all of these people, as you read through those, you'll find that, oh, here's an example. Here's a radical Egyptian terrorist who's been charged for a murderous Saul, from a murderous Saul, which is in the Bible, to forgiving Paul, who's Paul renamed himself. It's a long story. But anyway, after Jesus Christ visited this radical Egyptian in a soul-penetrating dream, this hater of Jesus Christ and Christians and Jews set out to discredit the Bible, but instead he was transformed when Jesus appeared to him and changed his heart. Apparently Jesus spoke Arabic in the dream, and that's how it works. You see, this is really just another case of these people using the Christ, the giver of all things good, to justify whatever in the hell their right-wing agenda is. You see, so that they can be comfortable and believe that we are going over to Iraq and changing hearts and minds, there is a fake, unidentified website, which, by the way, there is one thing you can do. You can send them information about yourself and receive an offers to buy books and CDs. You can do that. But you damn sure not going to find out who's running the site, because the site is in fact set up for white folks like us, not for folks over there. Hell, I don't even think most folks over there even get the internet. There's a herdsman in Nigeria found the deep love and lordship of Jesus Christ through a series of remarkable dreams. Jesus appeared in those dreams and altered the course. Now you see, do I doubt that Jesus can appear to people in the dreams? Hell no. Do I doubt that Jesus can change hearts and minds? Hell no. You guys know where I stand on this. But to use him to promote this just amazes me. If you're going to stand up for Jesus, you need to go ahead and identify yourself at least. A young Iranian man, depressed and without hope, met Jesus Christ in a vision. Of course, he's... Suddenly Jesus, you know, it would be as if our American folks who, you know, most likely had some influence from the Christian religions all their lives, suddenly Muhammad started appearing in your dreams, and as if by magic you became a Muslim. Does anybody think that's credible? Not that Allah couldn't do it, or Muhammad, or Jesus, not that they can't do it. I'm not going that direction. I'm just saying, this is so damn contrived, it makes me sick. A young Iranian man was depressed and without hope, and then he met Jesus in a dream. And then, you know, it's blasphemous. Then the Savior extended his hand and invited him to take hold, and then there's a Bible in his room when he wakes up. You know, I'm sorry, folks, but this kind of stuff, you know, and I also, I despise the religion industry for making me even suspect. I mean, why can't I, as a Christian, read a site like this and believe it? Why can't I trust Christians to tell the truth? Why? It's a perversion, and it is disgusting, and it's heartbreaking that I would have to hear something like this, be skeptical, and then have to go to a site and find out that it's unidentifiable, and then to come to the conclusion that, in fact, it's being used in exactly the way I thought it was being used when it was presented in the damn church. And no, I don't mean damn church. It's just my colorful language. I learned it from Betty Davis. Get over it. You know, and then to make it... No. I won't go there. But this is the secret information. It's like we're talking about the Mormon secret underwear. Well, this is secret Methodist information. Do not post in public. Yeah, I just told half the planet. You know, I don't know. What can I tell you? It's conversation radio. If you want to talk about it, if you have other things in your mind, you're perfectly welcome to call. We can talk about anything you'd like to talk about. And I've been rambling on for a while, fairly coherent at least. At least I'm becoming coherent. You know, by the time Friday rolls around, I'm actually doing pretty well. I think, you know, Saturday and Sunday go, and then on Monday it's like, okay, how do you start this thing? Oh, my. So as we come up from the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
And speaking of Larry Sanders, which this song always makes me think of, we can go right along with the stories and newscasts and should update you about Conservapedia, though. Most of the folks who've listened to the show know what Conservapedia is. We've talked about it on most of the shows in the network. You know, everybody knows what Wikipedia is or Wiki. You can find an article about just about anything and just about anybody. The conservatives really don't like that because they feel that Conservapedia has too many intellectuals, which is a dirty word with them. You know, communist pinko fags, but intellectual is probably the worst insult. You know, it's all right to rah-rah the football players and the professional wrestlers who are actually not actors, but, you know, you can admire the muscles, but you really should not admire the mind. So in any case, for the true non-intellectual, there is Conservopedia. You can find it on the web. Just go to Conservopedia. It's the dark. If Wikipedia is the light, Conservopedia is the darkness. And I just want to point out to you, the stories that we just covered, all the stuff that's going on in the world. What are the main searches taking place at Conservopedia today? As of today, the number one search on Conservapedia is homosexuality, followed by teen homosexuality, arguments against homosexuality, homosexual agenda, ex-homosexuals, homosexuality and choice, homosexuality and, wait for it, anal cancer, homosexuality and health. Never ceases to amaze me. These people are absolutely eaten up with gay. They're just fascinated by it. If they're not signing a petition to keep us from getting married, if they're not beating us up behind the parking lot of the Winn-Dixie, they're Googling it. You know, it just amazes to me how perverted people have come. And, oh, yeah, I remember now why I mentioned Larry Sanders as we came back from break. We have Larry as the DJ of the night. But also Larry wrote me an interesting letter regarding, we were in a discussion regarding what's going on in the world. And he wrote that that God gives each of us dignity. That just as being human beings, we have a gift of dignity. And that, he didn't put it exactly this way, but the other side spends its entire existence and energies attempting to take that away. He referred to it as the father of lies, which I used earlier. Some of us refer to it as a Republican Party. Some of us refer to it as a Saddleback Mountain Church. Some of us refer to it as James Dobson, focused on the family. We refer to the father of lies in many, many ways, don't we? But wouldn't you agree with me, listeners, that the main objection is to take away our dignity? I mean, speaking as an LGBT individual, it certainly seems that way to me. It's constantly referred to, it's always homosexual, it's always about our sex, it's always sex, sex, sex. Nothing about loving each other, nothing about the flowers in the front lawn, nothing about the fact that you may be raising children, nothing about the fact that you pay your taxes. Nothing about, you know, the list goes on a long, long way now, doesn't it? But when you reduce it to just sex, you take away a person's dignity, because that removes the human nature of our spirit, does it not? So what's the rest of the world doing about all of this? Well, the police are certainly doing their best to shut this stuff down over in, it's a birthday party. Let's see, where's the little country this took place in? Oh, it's buried in the articles. It's a little farmhouse. You can't pronounce any of the words. There will be no city names revealed in this story simply because there's not any of them that are pronounced. Well, in any case, it comes from Thane, actually. I just didn't bother to check. In any case, Thane police on Saturday, just this past Saturday, raided a party at a farmhouse in the hills following a tip that it had been organized through a website for homosexuals. Now, a team led by Deputy Police Commissioner, unpronounceable name, raided the unpronounceable location. It's a bungalow, and detained six persons. Now, it's included the main organizer. Notice they're using the word organizer. Not the guy who was trying to have a party, he's the organizer. Apparently the organizer, who is a homosexual, is 24. Now, liquor bottles and condoms were seized from the bungalow. Okay. Now, as it goes to the article, the obviously it's being presented as this was supposed to be a sex party. It's never mentioned that the condoms that they found were in men's wallets. You know, guys got a couple of condoms. I mean, who doesn't? I don't. But in case, many of you do. Many. And but anyway, the liquor bottles they claim were stashed in a shrub or a hedge out back. They didn't say where the condoms came from, so you can be pretty sure that they were personal property. Nonetheless, it's presented as liquor bottles and condoms were seized from the bungalow. This is, of course, to prove that it is a homosexual party. Okay. A gay rights group in the, condemned the action as unfair, given that all of the men detained were adults, and none of them were found violating any law. Organizers of the party had placed an advertisement on an internet site, and it also circulated in a local publication, inviting people to Saul's birthday party. This is in quotes, a birthday party. Now, one of the things that the police are very concerned with, and they point out very strongly, we found that there is no evidence that this man was having a birthday. Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah, that was huge. And so So anyway, they are saying that people paid a fee to attend the party, and there was some small amount of money. There was an entry fee, and about 82 persons had registered for the party, and the police say we even had one of our own men there inside plant. Now, based on the information from nearby residents, the police swung into action with their vehicles and inspected the vehicles at a checkpoint on the road leading to the bungalow. And this is one of the things I find so amusing about the article. It's not funny, but poor DJ. A person transporting a music system, the DJ, was intercepted by the police and... In countries like that, it's not very pleasant. You get beaten up a lot. Doesn't mention that, but it says subsequently he led them to the place where the party was and where the others were present. Now, this is, of course, absurd. The police have already just told us that, in fact, the police had a plant there at the party. The police already knew. They didn't need the deeds. So they're, by stating it like this, those gay folks, they give each other up easy. Anyway, it was the DJ with the sound system that led them there. It's always the DJ. according to the police, Solly claimed it was his birthday party and that he invited his friends over. They see in countries where things are very repressive, you have to have a cover like a birthday party in order to do anything, because everybody's Washington, they know who the homosexuals are. So anyway, the bungalow had been rented for a small price, and we found that it wasn't his birthday, and he was not able to give us a satisfactory explanation for organizing this party. Well, excuse me. A search revealed that the group had stocked up on snacks, imagine that, and cold drinks, imagine that. Liquor was found hidden outside the house, and condoms were found. You see, there were huge bowls, there were veritable crystal punch bowls filled with condoms and snacks. Oh Lord! Says the people at the party, a watchman, they were taken into custody. So apparently, they had somebody outside looking around. But I don't blame them a bit. The police had. I sought to book and arrest the group for possession of liquor without a permit, a private residence, mind you, without a permit, but the magistrate denied that. Gay rights groups are saying there's something very objectionable in the way the police handle these things. Instead of going after terrorists and thieves, they're going after homosexuals who are pretending to have a birthday with condoms, for crying out loud, and for the love of Christ, snacks. This is how what's going on in the world. I'm sorry. I thought to myself earlier today, I'm in a great mood when I got up today. Still I am, really. Kind of old and nuts, but that's got nothing to do with it. But I told myself, what if I could just do a show that had, all upbeat stuff in it? I just can't find anything to tell you. I tried. There is something slightly amusing, though, about this party. Before I go there, this person pointed out, carrying a condom isn't a sin. The community complained because the police action led to inconveniences and guests at hotels nearby. And clubs, everybody was stopped and searched during the course of the evening. Now, I'm sorry I didn't look up the city for this. I mean the country, but it's Thane, and all of the names appear to be from the Baltic area. It's very likely Baltic. I'll find that for you at some point. But what's interesting about this, and the only humorous thing is the way the internet works. We all know about targeted advertising on the internet. We all know how that works. You go to a site called I'mWearingMyPurpleBikini.com, and you'll find links there for stores that sell bikinis, and you'll find links there for every shop you ever heard of called Purple Anything. You'll find a link there to Prince's. You can buy a copy of Prince's Purple Rain, for example. You can find out about surfboards and ski shops in South Florida. All of those ads are automatically, and they rotate, all of these ads are automatically placed on, this is how internet advertising works to it. It's called targeted advertising. It's no big deal. We all know about that. Okay. So, all right. Here I'm holding in my hand this huge story. Police bust gay party. Homosexuals. Birthday. It wasn't really a birthday. It was a birthday of, it was a sham, but of course birthday party it's mentioned. So what do I find the advertisement surrounding the Google that's associated with this article? Having a themed party? Your themed party headquarters. Call today for an appointment. TED Events in Tallahassee. Graduation party? Beach sand party? 50 plus sparkling colors. In other words, we got targeted with everything to do with a nice little American party. Now, people in other countries are arrested and hauled into jail because they dared use the word birthday, which was obviously, as the police called, a homosexual party. And we openly run ads associated with this article. Fashion consultants earn great income at home doing home parties. Tent events, themed party headquarters. Make centerpieces in sparkling colors for your party. There's also some ads there for birthday, various birthday sundries, birthday cards, birthday condoms. No, I'm just saying. Actually, we don't have birthday condoms on the web yet, but, you know, I haven't really looked for them. It's not something I use in high volume here. Oh, but that's another story. Let's see. Going to take a top-of-the-hour break, just a short one. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about what's going on in Florida. You know, Florida has, they finally got enough signatures. So it's going to be on the ballot, same as Pennsylvania. And the fact that Oregon got its domestic partnership okayed as of today. I'll bring you up to speed on that. We had a guest from Basic Rights Oregon on last month saying that it had been blocked by an out-of-state group. But we'll tell you those things in a minute. So as we go to break, the toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on, or you can use 304-658-3333 in West Virginia, Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and we'll be right back. I want to break free.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Everybody comes to Rick's.
If you can stand it, I can. Play it.
Howdy, Rangers. Tune into Rick's Place. You'll be fascinated with porn psychotherapist Britt Goodner's take on all of today's political issues from a real Texan's liberal point of view. So mosey on into Rick's Place for some good old hospitality with Rick Goodner. See you there, Rangers, this Saturday, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
And if you want another kind of love,
Rick's Place with Rick Goodner, part of the weekend lineup on The Horn, running all weekend in rotation with The Showers Report and Night Sounds.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Obama's just not a good debater, face it. He lost the Thursday night debate hands down. He had no game. He let Clinton dominate the terms. He didn't counterpunch. He didn't have any prepared zingers, and he failed to make his case. For instance, when he was asked in the very first question about what distinguishes him from her, he spent most of that answer interminably dwelling on issues that are her strengths, like health care and foreclosures, instead of getting directly to the Iraq War. Only at the end, when he reminded everyone that the resolution Clinton voted for was entitled Authorization of Military Force, did Obama land a blow. For the most part, though, he laid low and he let Hillary get away with a ludicrous contradiction. On the one hand, she said she didn't want to be advantaged by her husband's administration, and she added implausibly, "We all start out the same." On the other hand, she kept proclaiming how great things were during the Clinton years. She can't have it both ways. But for some reason, Obama let her. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
I am indeed Peter Godfoldy. You are indeed listening to America's LGBT voice, progressive, and strictly confidential. As promised, yeah, any of the calls you make here are strictly confidential. Nobody's listening. Yeah, right. So, in any case, I promised you before we went to the break, we would talk about what's going on in Florida. The Florida for Marriage, I had misplaced that name in my mind at the beginning of the show. This is the organization who is mounting the effort to get the extra names. If you'll recall, there was a ballot to make it constitutionally illegal in the state of Florida, a constitution banning marriage. In fact, there is a law already in place in the state of Florida that bans that very thing. The amendment is not necessary, but they claim that it is necessary so that they can block activist judges, which we all know is code for any judge that isn't taking money from those people. Or anybody, any judge who isn't heavily invested in Halliburton. The list goes on. There's so many possibilities. But we know what that means. Now, of course, for them, activist judges, that's fine. You can, you know, as many activist judges you'd like in the Supreme Court so that they can block things like women's rights to their own bodies. And the list is very long. Now, that's not being an activist. That's being a strict constitutionalist. There is a very different, two different things, very, very different, you understand? So in any case, the Florida for Marriage folks found out, I think it was, yes, late December, we had a representative on. We had Nanette back on from Equality Florida to talk with us about that. They were found to be 20,000 names short of their 611,000 signatures that are required
in the state of Florida to put an issue on the ballot. So, what did they do? They immediately began trying to come up with the extra 20,000 names as quickly as possible, because they had to have these names in by the end of January so that this ballot could be placed on the elections in November, on the November ballot. Of course, this will be a huge bonus to draw out the illiterate knuckle-dragging vote. And I really feel like going to vote today, Ethel, but I got to stop the queers from getting baby. Hell, they'll probably get the dog too, because you know if they allow homosexual marriage, then you know then there's going to be bestiality and polygamy. It just goes hand in hand. Necrophilia. Oh God, how do I? No wonder I'm insane. I have no remorse or no guilt, but I'm absolutely nuts. I lose my pieces of paper. No guilt, no remorse whatsoever. These people have made me that way. So in any case, they gained, they got their 20,000 signatures. This was revealed Saturday. There was much stir in the state of Florida on Saturday when this information was released. The amendment says, inasmuch as marriage is a legal union of only one penis and one vagina, no other legal union that is treated as marriage or the substantial equivalent thereof shall be valid are recognized. And yes, if you realize the substitution, it doesn't really say that, but it might as well say that, because it's all about sex now, isn't it? Couldn't possibly be about love or spirituality, common dreams, shall we say. No, it's about sex, and I know they're going to get Buster the Mule too. They'll do it, so I got to go vote. Yes, this will be a huge draw to the knuckle-dragging South. You see, people think of Florida as sunshine and beaches and big hotels in Miami and Fort Lauderdale and Disney World, all very progressive, but everyone is not remembering that the airplanes fly over North Florida. You know the big part of Florida that goes left and right? That whole wide swath of Florida, which is practically as long as the part of Florida that heads south. Yeah, there are a lot of people. They're all. That's an extension of South Georgia. North Florida borders what? Alabama, Georgia. Who is it on the other side? Mississippi. I think. Yeah. I don't know. That's out west. But yes, North Florida is very much like what you would consider to be the rural South. So this is going to drag these people out in droves. Now, these folks over at Florida for Marriage are ecstatic. They are ecstatic because they were able to raise these 20,000 signatures so quickly. It was just amazing to them that they did this. They say they're grateful to God first and to the supporters second. It's an amazing victory. What our people did was simply remarkable. They collected 92,000 signatures in 13 days. That's about 7,000 petitions per day. No paid collectors were used. No paid collectors could ever match the force of this effort. This is real proof that in Florida the momentum continues for one penis and one vagina. I'm sorry, one man and one woman. You see, when this first broke, they didn't have enough votes. They issued a constitutional crisis in Florida. And so how do they get these petitions, you might ask? Well, churches. They put the petitions in the churches. And in fact, they passed the petitions around and made sure they were in the pews so that the preacher would ask you to sign that church, that petition while you were in church. And so, you see, whether you believed it or not, whether you wanted to sign it or not, you know, Aunt Bessie from next door is in the pew right behind you, and your neighbor across the street sitting right next to you, and everybody's going to know, if I don't sign that, it's like, I really don't want to. I don't think queers are all that bad, but if I don't sign it, they're going to think I'm queer. So this is the way you do it, people. You do it using peer pressure. If you think for one moment these knuckle-dragging sons of Satan Okay. Maybe they're just misguided children of Christ. But I got to tell you, there's some hate in those hearts. There's some outright hate in those hearts. If you don't believe me, well, I have to look them up for you. But if you don't believe me, you can go back and listen to the archives of some of these rabid ministers. Just amazing. So in any case, using an institution that's supposed to bring Christ to the masses, and as our friend Larry mentioned, dignity to people, it was ripped away at the hands of the Southern Baptist Church. I can assure you the Southern Baptist Church did most of this. However, the Assembly of God, often referred to on the show as the Resembly of God, helped along with others. But this is the way it's done. They needed 20,000 signatures, and in 13 days they got 92,000 for a total 4 years of gathering signatures, 611,000. I believe I said 61,000. Or yes, 611,000 signatures were gathered in the state of Florida. So that, you know, I mentioned to you before, by the way, that how did Florida for Marriage get started to begin with? It's no small thing to start an organization like this. You have staff, you have computers, you have copiers. Well, $150,000 came from a single donor. That's who started Florida for Marriage. Who was the single donor, you say? Why, it was the Florida Republican Party. Don't tell me it's about marriage. It's about bringing out the knuckle-draggers who are afraid the queers going, come get Bessie the cow. I know them lesbians. They got motorcycles. I saw that on Bill O'Reilly. The lesbians, they got the motorcycles, and they're going to get our babies. You know the Bill O'Reilly story? The lesbians apparently riding around in packs, snatching little girls. It's ludicrous. It's unbelievable. This is a man who works for freaking Fox News. Now, we all know that that's a cesspool, but we're talking about one of the major networks in this country. There are people who only watch it. There are people who only read articles from the American Family Association. I'm longtime listeners, you know all these things. And that's part of the pain, being involved. You know, sometimes you just know a whole lot of stuff. Sometimes it gets to the point that it is very difficult to take. And by the way, and something that we can be a little bit joyful about, even though it sounds like it's not good at the start. Judge slashes the damages that Fred Phelps must pay. You recall Fred Phelps and his rabid group of Westboro Baptist Church inbred. Well, even my bad words fail me. In any case, a federal judge said that he upheld those jury verdict that found that Fred Phelps and his two daughters, Shirley, Ms. Shirley and Ms. Rebecca, had invaded privacy with intent to inflict emotional distress on the father of a Marine who was, it was a funeral that Phelps Westboro Baptist Church had picketed. And, you know, God bless this family. They lost their son in that war that the cesspool of a White House has running. As an LGBT person, though, I'm outraged that Phelps has done this. How many years have we heard about Phelps? Since Matthew Shepard, since his funeral? How many gay folks? How many protests? How many screaming? How many of those people screaming at parents with tears running down their eyes because their kid died who happened to be LGBT? Perhaps the kid was murdered, and then they come again and kill him at his funeral. Yes, there's outrage in my little LGBT heart over that, and a little bit of disgust that, oh, gee, now that it's a Marine funeral, we're going to take legal action. You know, it's a bitch being LGBT. There's a lot of joy in it, too. A lot of joy, but it's a bitch, honey. I wouldn't, you know, it's an interesting path, and you have to be strong to get through it. And you learn many things, and you have to have a lot of faith to get through it, or you'll end up on drugs and alcohol. I went through that, managed to get out of that. But you got to do something. If you're LGBT, you can't survive in this world without either faith, love, or drugs and alcohol. because it's a pretty big hurt LGBT folks have to go through. In any case, this is the good part of the story. The judge, see, the verdict was $10 million. Okay. And the protesters, you know, that was awarded them the $10 million because they were protesting at the funeral of Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder in 2006 in Maryland. And the protesters claimed that the Iraq is punishment, that the nation's Iraq is punishment, and they're protesting the funerals because God is punishing America because we foster homosexuality. And so God's killing us, Iraq, because this is all about, it's all our fault. It's all about, so in any case, the jury trial awarded the Snyders $2.9 million in compensation and $6 million in punitive damages for invasion of privacy and $2 million for causing emotional distress. Well done. You had a bunch of yahoos protesting outside your funeral. You probably agree. So in any case, here's the good part. The judge upheld the compensatory damage, which is $2.9 million. He reduced the punitive damage from, from $6 million to $2.1 million and let stand the $2 million for emotional distress. Now, you see this, even though it's lowered, this financially wipes out the Phelps, who, if you've ever seen a picture of him on the web, really bears a stark resemblance to Satan himself. In the good news department, in California could be the first state with, are you sitting down, a gay holiday. Yes. And not talking about dreaming of a white Christmas and stockings are hung and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about a new gay holiday commemorating an, oh horror, an openly gay person. Assemblymember Mark Leno, he's a Democrat, obviously. The Republicans have voted against everything progressive since the beginning of time, even Social Security. There's not a single Republican vote, as Bob likes to point out. You know, as far as they're concerned, the little lady should be starting on the edge of the street. But that's another story. In any case, Mark Leno, he's a Democrat, has announced that he's going to introduce a bill that would formally recognize the efforts of civil rights pioneer Harvey Milk. I have a movie of the story about Harvey Milk, and I'm ashamed to say that I have not watched it yet, but it's in my stack here to watch. Now, he was shot and killed, by the way, along with Mayor George Moscone. They were assassinated in San Francisco back in 1978 because Milk, at least, was gay. Moscone, I do not know, but Milk was out. And back then, even in San Francisco, you could get your shell, get a bullet in your head. So he was an active LGBT politician and a force for good for the gay community, and they shot him down. He gave hope to a generation of LGBT folks whose humanity and freedom and all the things we've talked about this evening have been dishonored. The bill would proclaim May the 22nd, Harvey Milk Day, and add it to the list of state holidays. It's going to be crafted in such a way so as not to generate additional state costs or increase the number of paid holidays. How they do that, I do not know. But it's Harvey Milk Day. We'll provide a forum to raise public awareness and his work in human rights. The legislation, by the way, is being supported by Equality California. You know, we've had equalities from all over the map, but we haven't had Equality California. Perhaps we ought to get in touch with them. They might join us for an evening. I'm sure they're very busy folks out there, but nonetheless. Harvey Milk knowingly put his safety at risk, and he ultimately gave his life because he believed, only believed, that living as an openly gay man would help achieve equality for lesbians and gays and bisexual and two-spirited and queer and questioning and transgendered Americans. So that was from 1978. But you guys didn't know that was going on back in 70. Yes, Lord, I've been fighting this for years. I mean, all my life, all the lives of the people who lived before me, the previous generation, the generation before that, and the generation before that, and the generation before that, and the generation before that, before that, and the generation before that. And I could, boy, how long would I have to go to get back to when it all started? How far would I have to go? And, yeah, we're pretty damn sick of waiting. Yeah. And, yeah, there's a lot of pissed off LGBT folks out there. They call us militant. I'm one of them. Don't have an army. But as I love to point out, if we did, the uniforms would be fabulous and the victory parties would be legend. Moving in the same direction, idiots, us versus them, parents are asking the Supreme Court to take a gay book case. I mean, it's not that the book case is not tasteful. It's not that the book case is made of particle board. No, they're talking about a gay book, a case regarding a gay book, not a gay book case. You see, a headline like this is only confusing to gay men because we think of the phrase bookcase meaning furniture. So we're wondering why the Supreme Court is going to take our gay book case, which, of course, we have all of our copies of Satanic Worship on, and How to Steal Babies Without Even Trying. By the way, guys, I only need to recruit 3 more children and I get the toaster this month. So just send them right along and we'll recruit them. God in heaven, we don't want your snot-nosed, germy children. Please. So anyway, these parents are in a lawsuit over the use of a gay-themed book by a Lexington, Massachusetts public school, and the federal appeals court rather dismissed the case, which is hugely upsetting to them. You know, Massachusetts being the Sodom and Gomorrah of the United States. A teacher read the book King and King to the second graders at Easterbrook Elementary School in April 2006, and all hell broke loose after that. It was part of a lesson for these second graders about, imagine this, weddings. You see, marriages for LGBT folks in Massachusetts is legal. So if you're going to talk to little children about weddings, you get to say that in a reality-based community. So, following the reading, the teacher noted that same-sex marriage is legal in Massachusetts and that some children have two mommies and others have two daddies. Imagine that. Without damaging one single heterosexual child, you have managed to encourage and make feel included every LGBT kid in the auditorium or in the class. And I assure you, in any auditorium, any class, there's some there. But you see, it is far more important to exclude us than to upset the parents, the bigoted parents, 2-year-olds. So the book is called King and King, by the way, and it's aimed at elementary school children and it helps teach diversity. The book is by Alinda DeHaan and Stern Unpronounceable. And it tells the story of Prince Bertie. Sounds fairly innocent to me. Prince Bertie, who searches for love through a long list of eligible princesses before finally falling for Prince Lee. Imagine that. It was worth the wait, wasn't it there, Bertie? Lord have mercy. Parents David and Tanya. David, I love you, Tanya, because you helped save my babies from that teacher. Sorry, but it'll make you hateful. In any case, Joseph and Robin, unpronounceable. So the school is attempting to indoctrinate their children into an immoral lifestyle. And this is a common tactic used by these people. It's always promoting homosexuality, indoctrinating. It's never about including a damn soul, now, is it? You walk past a schoolyard, and you hear the taunts on the school grounds. Any school in the United States, any school in England, any school, you can go around the world. And what are you going to hear on the school? Faggot, queer, that's so gay. And I know this for a fact. I've talked to, and these are schools, by the way, without a gay-straight alliance. We've had folks from Gay Straight Alliances, which are also very controversial for the right, because they're to indoctrinate and teach the children to be immoral, because you choose your sexuality. So anyway, the lawsuit officials bypass the parental rights to raise their children how they wish, according to the parents, and they're violating their civil rights. And you see, after the book was read, student Robin complained to the school board, or the parent Robin, that her 7-year-old son should not be exposed to discussion of at such an early age regarding sex and homosexuality. It was a book about weddings, you mouth-breathing, Pepsi-sucking hog. So anyway, the superintendent is saying that teaching children about the world they live in is okay. And last week, a 3-judge appeal court upheld the ruling that the constitutional right of parents to raise their children does not include the right to restrict what a public school may teach. Well, thank you, Jesus. Now, Boston-based gay and lesbian advocates and defenders applauded the ruling, and as you might expect, the list of people with organizational names like pro-marriage and defend marriage and fam, anything with the word family in it. See, we're not families either. Can't be a family. You know, and it's a shame that LGBT folks have to walk around in this country and be offended by anything that says family in it, because it basically means anybody but us. That's what the word family means. Christian now doesn't mean Christian, it means Republican mouth breather. Family means anybody but us. And yes, Archbishop Bruce Simpson, I agree with your letter. The world's being torn apart by this. You know? It's a damn shame, ain't it? So, you know, that's just my rant for the evening. We all have our own crosses to carry, our own form of being beaten about by the right, mountain removal. West Virginia, and now they're going to train the children to shoot guns when they're in the, what grade? Elementary school. So we can make more money on hunt license. I think I'm channeling Bob Kincaid. You know, that's a very scary thought. Bob goes away, and Peter becomes like the Betty Davis version of Bob Kincaid. Oh, dear Lord, the poor man. It just occurred to me he might be listening. I mean, that just never occurred to me. Major, duh. But anyway, if you're out there, Bob, I'll take off the Betty Davis heels as soon as you get back. You know, we've been running, what, about an hour and a half now. Oh, by the way, the track that we played, Going to Break, was also sent in by Larry Sanders, the Going to Break track that we ran earlier. And that was a Bonnie Pointer track. And let's see. I had the name all special out here for you, but obviously I've misplaced it. But I'll tell you when we come back. But oh, here it is. It is the When the Love Light Starts Shining Through Your Eyes. That's a very long track title. Anyway, that was Bonnie Pointer who did the Go to Break song. In any case, our DJ in the gay bar across the street, which is just across the dirt road, is Mr. Larry Sanders. And Larry's actually going to be picking up from where he left off Friday, and so we'll be continuing that mix. The gay bar across the street is entirely produced by Fantasy Gay Elves, and all you have to pay to get in is just bring your little umbrella from your umbrella drink, and we'll let you right in. So in any case, this is actually Larry Sanders. We very much appreciate this music. It's from the period. It was from the period 1976 through 77. DJ Larry Sanders from the world famous Sandpiper on Fire Island. And as we enter the bar, the DJ is already at the table.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts would tell. Just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, the chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me.
You could read my mind, yeah. If you could read.
wishing you well. Oh,
that music is, in fact, from Mr. Larry Sanders, the world's most dangerous DJ, and number one in my heart, from the Sandpiper collection, from the period 76 through 77. We very much appreciate Larry participating in the gay bar across the street. Tomorrow night's DJ will be VJC from Disco 935 in New York. Wednesday, Mr. Bobby Vittoretti. Thursday, D.C. LaRue. And Friday, Jerry Bonham. Those of you who have been DJs or know dance music realize that this is a veritable who's who in the list of world-class DJs. And we very much appreciate that, Larry. As we wrap up the end, I wanted to tell you a little something here. Here we go. This was sent in by one of our news ninjas late in the show. And by the way, our news ninjas are our helpers, and we really could not do the shows without them. They scour the networks, plural, as Bush would say, the internet. Well, in case they scour the internet and look for information to help us in our quest for bringing you, well, whatever this thing is that we do. In any case, News Ninja Gene sends in an article that I hadn't mentioned over the last few days, but it is something that's being talked about. Swiss scientists are claiming that with proper HIV treatment, patients can be made non-infectious. And this is, in fact, true. People who are taking their antivirals and they're responding to the drugs, you can suppress the AIDS virus to the point that it is no longer detectable in the bloodstream or in any sexual fluids, and you can't transmit HIV. Of course, the virus remains dormant. If you go off your meds, you die. But I didn't bring that article up simply because this is a nightmare waiting to happen. You know, how do you know if the guy you're talking to really is suppressed? How do you know that he doesn't have other STDs? The AIDS organizations who treat people with AIDS are horrified that this information is out. And while technically true, or at least this this particular body of research, so let's further discuss. While it's technically true, you had better talk with your doctor before you do that. Nonetheless, it may be acceptable for monogamous couples, but I don't know. I'm certainly not recommending it to anyone. And yes, and thank you so much, News Ninjas. We could not do this show without you. You know, Bob will be returning Thursday. So again, it will be this will be the live show tomorrow night and also on Wednesday night. And it feels kind of strange. Apparently, I channeled Bob this evening unintentionally. He must have his mind in the network. He does it 24 hours a day anyway, so Bob's mind is always on this network, and we certainly appreciate the work that he does. Again, you can find, mention the guest again for tomorrow evening. Our guest is coming from Arkansas, and the guest will be Donna Marie. Donna Marie is a transsexual in Arkansas and is going to talk with us about the anti-adoption bill that's being put through in Arkansas. I talked with Donna's partner today, as she was delightful, and I enjoyed that conversation. So, looking forward to seeing you again tomorrow, and God bless each and every one. I do, in fact, love you. And here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too. There's nothing else to say, but here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too.
You will be you, one who's done all the things you said.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams.